This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN. Technology, news, and information. All in one place. Welcome to this edition of Insight IAUG at the International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event in Orlando, Florida. Your APN hosts Mark Fletcher and Guy Clinch bring you exciting interviews with speakers, attendees, and exhibitors at this annual event. Now here's your host, Mark Fletcher.
Hey, it's Fletch with the Avaya Podcast Network, and we're live at IAUG Connect 2013 in Orlando, Florida. And we're talking to a third-time guest now on the podcast, Byron Battles, who's with the Battles Group out of Silver Spring, Maryland. Welcome, Byron. Glad to have you here today.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
We're talking about E911 remediation in enterprise networks. And Byron, you're a consultant, so this has got to be something that comes up all the time, right?
It does. Whenever we're doing our discovery processes with a client, a major part of that is how they want to handle emergency calls within the enterprise. Specifically, if one of their employees has a medical emergency or there's a threatening situation, we really spend a lot of time figuring out how the call is going to flow, how they need it to flow, whether it's to internal security, whether it's to the public safety answering position, or to both, and how it's going to be handled from there, and really try and map out a call route so that we can see all the permutations that could happen if the call is interrupted or a facility is down or one of the physical locations is just out of commission.
There's a lot of things to think about, and one of the things is 911 callback, and some of the states have legislation that covers a call's got to go back to the station that dialed. That's starting to change, I think, a little bit, because if I dial 911 and I pass out, I'm not there to answer the call. So a lot of times I think people need to look at use cases around this and not always just go by some literal cases that they come up with in their own head. They've got to have some realistic environments. And I think that when they do that, they start looking at the procedural side of 911, which is another piece in addition to technology. It's just how it all has to happen. And they've got to have those best practices designed. It's kind of like trying to build a house without a blueprint. What do you find the biggest concern with companies is, though?
I think the biggest concern, especially with a lot of the enterprises that we deal with, is making sure that the first responders, number one, get to the correct address rather than the primary address, and then secondly, figuring out how they're going to find that person who had the medical emergency or made the call and maybe passed out afterwards in a multi-story large building. And you really have to sit down and have some discussions on, well, what if they call and they hang up and then they can't answer the call, or any of the ideas and things that you mentioned a little bit earlier. It's really sitting down. It's not just a one-way cookie cutter type of planning for every organization. You really have to sit down with each one in mind and go through some what-if scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, think that they're just going to go out and buy E911 9000 box and plug it into the network and, you know, do the Ron Popeil set it and forget it and walk away. That's the last thing that you can do. And if you do that, you're probably going to end up hurting somebody. You have to really plan what the environment is going to look like, and you have to go through those different things. And without doing that, you really don't have a plan in place. Another important part of that, though, is understanding how 911 works. So what do you take any time to kind of explain that to your customers?
We do. We will explain it to the customers, usually in pretty high general terms, but Fletch and we've worked together on this. You are well versed in the intricacies and the different parts of that. So if we get through our high level explanation and we still have questions, we're certainly not averse to calling in an authority like you to help us get through the subtleties of the E911 call flows and different vagaries of what could happen.
Yeah, it's not that difficult, really. I mean, and I think once you explain it down in simple terms, people can understand what's got to happen and why, and then they can start applying their own knowledge to that. So that's why we've taken the customer education approach. If I teach a man how to fish, he's self-sustaining for a long time to come.
Couldn't agree more. And in terms of teaching them how to do that, while you and I can bring a certain level of expertise and experience from all the customers and clients with whom we've worked, we rarely will know the enterprise as well as the employees of the enterprise, what their corporate culture is, how they want to handle things, and what the, I guess, political and intricacies would be. So it's really got to be a collaborative effort.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a large five-sided building down in Washington, D.C., and we got into a really long discussion about, you know, on-site response and what address was going to display it, and I'm not sure you can get past the front gate of the parking lot of that building. So really, you have to kind of look at, that's a very unique situation that, you know, needs to be taken into consideration.
It is a unique situation, and that's, while at that five-sided building, it may be to the extreme, virtually every building in D.C. and most big cities have some level of security that a first responder just can't walk in, go up the elevator, and find that person. There needs to be a level of coordination and communication between the security people, the enterprise, and the first responder so that they can get to the right place in a timely manner.
I guess it's kind of like any technology. When you don't really know it intimately, you tend to get tunnel vision and you get the blinders on, and that's where, you know, someone like yourself can come in and really kind of offer them guidance on what they need to be looking at and how they need to be looking at it. So I think there's a lot of value there.
Well, thank you. We feel the same way, but it's very rarely a silver bullet. It's got to be, again, a collaborative effort between the enterprise, the manufacturer, the service provider, and the consultant to try and help blend all the aspects together.
Well, one of the things I can say, and you're a past president of STC, so I'm sure you'll agree, you know, it's one of the things I think that when you look for an STC consultant, you know you're probably going to get somebody that's got that on their platter, and they're going to do a good job with that. So that's definitely something to look for a consultant, I would say.
Thanks, Mark.
So thanks for all you do. I know that, like I said, I've had to present to you before, and I know that you're a pretty tough cookie, and I'd like your approach where, you know, you want to hear the pitch on 911, but you almost make that a separate section once the RFP has been decided. Now you know what the network needs to look like, so we're going to have a detailed conversation about it later. And I just think that's such a proactive approach to that. I can't say that enough. So.
Well, Fletch, that is true. We try and make that, but it's life safety. And I just try and think about, what if I were in the building late at night and needed to have some help? How's it going to get to me?
Right, there you go. Talking with Byron Battles of the Battles Group out of Silver Spring, Maryland. And we're here at the IAUG conference. Thanks for stopping by the podcast and talking with us.
You're very welcome, Fletch. Thanks again.
Take care.
This has been Inside IAUG at the International Avaya Users Group Converge 2013 event in the Gaylord Palms Resort in Orlando, Florida. You're listening to APN, the Avaya Podcast Network. Find us on the web at avaya.com/APN.